Blog Talk Radio.
You act like Atlanta ain't
it's
America.
The Falcons, that's right. Because they're going to get to the playoffs and lose. Watch what I tell y'all and watch what happens. All y'all Atlanta fans, go kick a big rock that stub your toe. I'm telling y'all, I told you so last year, and I'm telling y'all, watch what happened in the playoffs with them freaks.
Welcome to the war room. We got Dez,
Yo,
Kim, Jimmy, PJ, B. Austin, the Hot Block Commander.
How you wanna end a 1 or 2 hour show to keep the brain running with the premise to talk sports on a national level? Bold with the topic, sort of like the rubber. When it's game time, they like the Fab Five during prime time. Sports conglomerates speak their minds a little bit. For sports medicine and sports veterans and greats. The 4 for 26, so the war in Kuwait. It's the war room with 5 nights at the round table. 5 Philly guys, diversified and educated.
What up, extraordinary people of War Room Nation? Welcome back for another edition of your favorite show. You are once again live in the War Room, brought to you by War Room Sports. I'm Devin McMillan, and I'm here at the round table with my partners, Jimmy Williams, B. Austin, and PJ. Paul Johnson will join us in a few. We got a great show for you today. We'll discuss all the big stories of the week, but of course, Super Bowl 47 coverage starts tonight. Join us in the JW Philly chat room right now at blogtalkradio.com/thewarroom, or join us on Facebook or Twitter at War Room Sports to join in the conversation. You can also call us directly when we open up the Digital Extreme Tech Hotline at 323-410-0012. But before we get into all that, we got some shout-outs, of course. The future of sports talk radio has arrived, so be sure to listen to Roy and Chris on the Broad Street line every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time on Blog Talk Radio. Jimmy and I had the pleasure of being guests on the show on Tuesday, and we had a ball. We got to get together with those guys more often, have them in the war room so you guys can see what they're all about. But until then, check out their show. Also, catch Mojo and the crew of the season ticket on Mondays at 6 p.m. Eastern Time on Blog Talk Radio as well. Finally, check out our homies Brandon and Daniel of Sports Trap Radio on Saturdays at 10 a.m. Eastern Time at ueradiolive.com. But don't worry, if you can't catch them live, you can hear and watch all of our partner shows at War Room Sports. blogspot.com. In addition, don't forget to catch us in syndication 3 times on Fridays on newviberadio.com at 7 a.m., 1 p.m., and 7 p.m. Eastern Time, and on Sundays and Tuesdays at 3 p.m. Eastern Time on fatsradio.com. But right now, our birthday segment is upon us.
It's my birthday! Yay!
Round table. What's going on, fellas?
Man, you know I'm chilling, man. Got the slow grooves on.
Most Yo.
The Osleys.
I'm back off of my rich and famous alcoholics tour of the Far East.
Yeah, well,
free my brother
Santa
B. Austin. Free
back.
My brother B. Austin. Free B. Austin,
all,
man. We had the
been
campaign
on hiatus
going, man.
For the past 2 weeks. Back in the building with us. So, yeah, let's jump in.
Yo, the people in the Far East, they love us, man.
Let's jump into these birthdays, though. Us. Of course, birthdays are brought to you by DirecTV. If you like a better TV experience than cable has to offer, including that NFL Sunday ticket, go to our website, warroomsports.com, click on the DirecTV logo, and order a better TV experience at a discounted War Room Sports sign-up rate. If you call yourself a sports fan, you got to have DirecTV. Now, our first birthday today is one Mary Lou Retton, who turns 45.
My birthday, yay!
Jimmy, what do you remember about Mary Lou Retton?
I'm going to be perfectly honest. I remember her from the Olympics. I think she was the first to win gold in the individual. Other than that,
I don't care less, but go ahead. She was the first non-European to win
Eastern
individual
European.
Gold. Yeah, like Eastern
European.
Because, you know, like Romania and those type of countries, they dominate. They used to dominate gymnastics. So, yeah, she was the first non-Eastern European to win individual gold. B. Austin, what do you remember about Mary Lou?
The joint was 4'8", and I'm in the flexibility, so shout out to Mary Lou Retton.
Mary Lou
and
stretching.
Dominique Dawg. Mary Lou stretching. Mary Lou stretching.
Shout out to Dominique Dawg, huh?
I know. She gets a shout out like once every 4 weeks in this joint, and she ain't done nothing.
Yo, she just did a shout out just Yeah, it's all good though. If you look at her, you understand why.
All right, well, our second birthday of the day is one Mr. Larry Darnell Hughes. Larry Hughes turns 34 today.
Yay!
B. Austin, what is your recollection of one Mr. Larry Hughes?
Larry Hughes carved a decent career out for himself. He was a top 10 pick. I can remember, there was a time in the draft when folks were looking at him or the great Hall of Famer, doo-doo body, Paul Pierce, the truth. And we picked Larry for obvious reasons. I mean, tremendous athlete. And even though he didn't do much as a Sixer, he did go on to have a decent career. He had about three or four seasons there where, he was above 17 points per game scoring, led the league in steals at one point. And when he was in D.C. with him and Gilbert, they formed one of the more exciting backcourts in the NBA because Larry could do a lot, man. He could handle, he could pass,
yeah,
he could shoot, he could
do. Speaking of that whole draft thing in Philly, I've been in a lot of circles recently where, a lot of Philly fans, they use the word bust with Larry Hughes, and they always talk about how we should have drafted Paul Pierce, and I always try to tell people that hindsight is always 20/20. When the draft was going on, nobody was really clamoring for either one of them. So when the pick was made, you didn't hear too much around Philly about, oh, we should have got Paul Pierce. But, as Paul Pierce got better and better, then everybody wants to go back in time and become geniuses all of a sudden in their flying
and
DeLoreans.
And
Jimmy, what do you remember about Larry Hughes?
Yo, what I remember about Larry Hughes is nothing to do with his on-the-court abilities or him being a member of the Flight Brothers. But I remember I know this young lady in Philly who used to mess with Larry Hughes, and he used to leave drawn voicemails on her answer machine, and she used to let us hear them. And we would laugh at him because he'd be, trying to inside and send all kinds of craziness. But anyway, when he was with AI, what they call them, the Flight Brothers?
Yeah, because they ran that same alley-oop play like 16 times a game, and it kept working.
44 times a game. That was terrible. Shout out to Larry. On a recreational level, we got into some herbal remedies and things from the earth on a couple of occasions. He's a good dude.
All right, our next birthday is one Mr. Eric Quinn Metcalf. Eric Metcalf turns 45. Jimmy, you remember about Eric
getting
Metcalf?
Old.
Man, I remember Eric Metcalf vividly playing because he played for the Browns. He used to, the Broncos and Browns had a rivalry back then, and I was always a Broncos fan, and he used to kill it, to be honest with you. I think his father played in the league, if I'm not mistaken. But he was a great return man. He did everything in terms of playing. He played receiver, running back. So he was he played multiple positions, and he was a very productive player. I don't know if I consider him a great player, but he's a very productive player.
Right. You're right. You wouldn't really say great or anything, but going back to that time period when we were young, he was just known to do everything. So he may not have done everything great, but he did a lot of things well. He was a great return man, though. He wasn't a great receiver or a great running back, but, you could throw him back there for a change of pace, and he'll get you some yardage. But he was definitely a great return man, punt and kickoffs. B. Austin, what do you remember about Eric Metcalf?
Man, nothing that y'all didn't already say. I mean, the dude could get to the house on the punt and the kickoff team. He could
little
find his way
too
to the house with the rock. Little guy.
Little cat.
With,
all right. Well, our last birthday, I'll let B. Austin rock on this first because this is his spiritual leader. One Mr. Hakeem Abdul Olajuwon turns 50 today.
My birthday, yay!
Mashallah.
What are your recollections on the dream?
Yo, he did it to the league for a good solid 10 years. He gave everybody what they wanted at that work, and people actually stopped wanting to be guards and was like, yo, I want to be a center because I want to be like Hakeem, man. Hakeem was that dude, and I'm not going to say that he was the best or the greatest center of all time, but he's definitely the greatest center that I saw with my own eyes and watched play. Yo, man, dude, yo, he could do everything on the right block that he could do on the left block and vice versa. Jay work, play D, block shot.
As far as
and he was only
go,
6'10".
We got to go, he got to go somewhere in your top five as far as centers
top
go. A
five.
Lot of people put him top three or four. Hack had moves out of this world, and I can't help but think about how he made David Robinson dance like he was a cowboy with a gun in that series.
Yo,
Jimmy, what do you remember about the dream?
All I got to say, man, is Ishmaelah El Rahmed El Rahim, man. Islam is a beautiful thing. Because this man right here, Hakeem the Dream, listen, he has to be either one or two in terms of the top centers I've seen play. Because I did see Kareem play, and I saw Hakeem play.
It's between them two Muslims, man.
And how about that? How about that? They both were Muslim brothers. How about that? I didn't even think about that. But anyway.
No, it's between them two.
Yeah, you take your shot and your post
it's
moves.
It's Sharif Abdul-Rahim. Anyway, no, seriously. No, all jokes aside,
Mahmoud
though.
Mahmoud Abdul-Rahul.
Yo,
that's
the
all-Muslim all Muslim
team. We got to yo, be Austin. After this, we're going to make a video, the all-Muslim team. But, yo, forget that.
Yo, the all-Muslim team, man.
He was a center. He was a center with guard skills, if that makes any sense. Like, he had the agility and speed of a guard and the center's body. And he was definitely one of the greatest players ever, man.
Off subject, but I'm watching the ball, Amari Stoudemire on the monitor. Why does he have a black tear on his face like he caught a body or something? I don't get that.
Don't.
But Jimmy, tell everybody what happened while they were on the run.
And you already know. Time to talk about what happened while you were on the grind this week, and this is brought to you by Bay Financial Services. You know, all you tax season ballers, make sure you go to our website, warroomsports.com, and click on the Bay Financial Services logo. Listen, man, the first thing I want to talk about is J.R. Smith. He took a dig at Chris Humphreys on Twitter, man. Chris Humphreys, this guy keeps static like wool fabric, man. He's always into something. What are you guys' thoughts on this, man?
Did you say he took a dig at him or he took a poop on him? Because it was
it was
a lot of the latter.
It was a nice little bowel movement.
For whoever didn't see
noodle.
The comment, Chris Humphreys tweeted after they played the Knicks big game tonight, the Garden got really quiet on the way out, #Brooklyn. So J.R. Smith replied, wasn't quiet when Kanye tore it down last month. Those were the comments if you haven't heard them or haven't read them. My whole thoughts on the thing, I thought it was definitely clever and it was definitely funny. But at the same time, it's like, yo, you know, you're kind of jumping into that man's private business. And it wasn't even you. Like, you bragging about Kanye's conquest.
Another
like,
man.
You know? Yeah, like.
Yeah.
I don't know, yo.
In the war room, right, in the war room for our new listeners, we don't support Richard Riding. And that was a Richard Riderous move on the part of JR. It was funny. But you was icky eating, homie.
Yo, but here's my
Kanye thing, don't even know you.
I mean, for those who don't know, like, I live on Twitter, so I saw it when he said it. And the boy, like, listen, when he tweeted it, within about 10 seconds, he had, like, 4,000 retweets. So I was like, yo, he's clowning this dude. And you know when you get a retweet, that means it's coming into your you're getting added every time. I says, yo, not that he just poop on him, but dude has to reread this thing, like, 4,000 times. My thing is, I mean, you know, everybody knows that, you know, Kim was a bucket. But first off, and a lot of ladies was retweeting it and talking crazy about her, knowing y'all got just as many bodies as she got, we just haven't seen them on tape.
More.
That's a whole other story.
More.
But that's a whole other story. My thing is this. When I thought about it, I thought about that whole incident with KG at the Garden. And, you know, he got pushed by Rondo. And I feel like people just don't respect Chris Humphreys since his whole relationship with Kim, because before that, no one tested this dude to talk greasy to him. And I wonder if athletes are paying attention to the way this guy is being treated ever since then, going on a reality show, acting all Trez Vanny. It's like, yo, he's a laughing stock, but the crazy part is he's a productive player.
He can ball a little bit, too.
But nobody pays attention to that based upon what he did. Like, yo, dude will get you 15 and 10 easy. He's a productive player, but no one even cares that he's a productive player no more. That's crazy.
Nah. And his joint was thorough, because a lot of people be fronting and acting like Kim ain't thorough.
Man, all y'all would take that down. Everybody, listen, stop fronting. And even beyond that, he actually got off the best because he got out of it, and you know, now he's trying to get some bread from her. So At the end of the day, out of all the bodies
he's
he got,
acting Stretch Vanny. But like you said, he's acting Stretch Vanny because now he don't want to divorce her. He wants them to do a paternity test on the baby and a whole bunch of more.
If that's the case, he's saying that he's still, you know what I mean? Let's move on, though. I'm tired of talking about this.
Yo, let me speak to the lady. Let me speak to the lady, too, man. Lady.
This guy. Yo, man, let's move on, man. Leave us alone right now, man, because we got another story, you know, similar in nature. Let's talk about Wes Welker's wife. She posted some disparaging comments on Facebook about Ray Lewis after the Patriots lost. And I don't know if you guys read the comments, but she got very out of pocket with, you know, B. Austin's uncle. So
I got the comments.
let everybody know exactly what the comments were.
All right, after the Ravens beat the Patriots in the AFC Championship, she took to her Facebook account and put, she said, I think I lost the comments. All right, keep going. I found them.
No, I'm just saying she kind of went off talking about how many kids he has and his baby moms and, you know, how he's such a role model. And I don't know what that had to do with the fact that her husband and then just got smacked around. So, but she kind of went off, and people have to chill with the social media, yo. This stuff will get you in trouble.
Yeah, because it's like the wives of the Patriots, man. Remember last year, Brady's wife, she actually went on Wes Welker. She was like, my husband can't throw the ball and catch the ball itself, talking about the one that he dropped. So, you know, it's like they can't control their chicks after the game.
I'm going to keep it a beam with you, though. It's like, I don't know what the answer is because, of course, again, I was on Twitter during the game, and I was looking at people like, you know, atting Giselle, and they were saying all kinds of slanderous things to her during the game. They were calling her, like, you know, a slutorch and everything under the sun. Like, it's your fault we losing. You're a bad wife. That's why we losing. So, you know what I mean?
I got the quotes. After the game, like I said, she went to Facebook and put, proud of my husband and the Pats. By the way, if anyone is bored, please go to Ray Lewis's Wikipedia page. 6 kids, 4 wives. Acquitted for murder. Paid a family off. Yay. What a Hall of Fame player. A true role model. I'm like, why are you mad at Ray Lewis because the Patriots lost the game? You know what I'm saying? I don't really get that.
Out of pocket. Control your baby mother, man. What's he saying about this, man? Control your women.
Yeah, I didn't really get why she felt the need to go at one particular person. I mean, I can see, you know, if you feel some type of way about Ray, you don't like the attention that he gets. But I don't understand why she felt that was the form for that. I mean, the team lost the game. It wasn't because of Ray Lewis's popularity or because people wanted him to win and you didn't feel like he deserved it. It happened.
Yo,
tell them dudes to play better. I don't get it.
Tell them to step their game up. They got manhandled. Tell them to get more physical because they got out physical that game, and I mean that had nothing at all to do with it.
They got plopped on.
No, but I just like, yo, man, control your baby mom. Like, anyway, man.
Yo, I've noticed a reoccurring theme on social media. There's a certain group of people that really resent Ray Lewis's existence, his spiritual journey, his winning, his man.
To keep it a bean. I'm getting tired of his act myself personally, and I'm a huge Ray Lewis fan. But I'm going to address that in the blog, so it is what it is. But I noticed another thing on social media, which is wives and girlfriends, like, coming at people for talking about how, you know, their husbands play. It's like, out of control. Who was it? It was somebody's wife that started, like, coming at me and Brandon were having a conversation. Thaddeus Young. We didn't even at Thaddeus Young. And his wife came on and started talking about, who the hell y'all talking about? He can't play, and yada, yada, yada. Which means that she was on there searching his name. Because we didn't even at him. We were just having a random conversation. But I'm like, you know, I guess if that's your husband, you do get defensive. But you got to watch what you say on social media.
If you're searching, what was she searching for?
Probably his name.
Yeah.
She was
probably
searching to see
what Dick's
saying
about.
And then found
true.
That.
That's true, too.
Yeah, that's how it goes sometimes.
But they need to cut it out, man. Anyway, let's move on, man.
But you know what, then? One more point about this. When they say stuff like that, like Giselle and Wes Welker's wife, when they say stuff like that, This is probably the stuff that they hear from their husband at home. They're just not supposed to go saying it in public.
True.
You know what I'm saying? Like, Tommy probably craps on them dudes if they come home, if he comes home and they had a bad game and they were dropping passes.
But,
you know,
and
Wes Welker probably, he probably craps on Ray Lewis. Like, you know, everybody likes this guy and he did this and did that. And come on, you know people take on the personality of their husband at times, so.
No doubt. You know, but there's a bigger issue even in that, Dev, is that the Patriots are soft, dude. Look, the coach don't want to do interviews or shake hands or nothing like that. You know, you got one life going
feelings.
On. It's a theme. I mean, ever since Spygate, they can't win, and now they, like, all in their feelings. Man, pull your skirt down, B. Listen, man. Jay Ratliff. This is Jay Ratliff of the Cowboys, by the way. We about to talk about a DWI, so you know Dallas Cowboy. He was arrested for DWI after smacking into an 18-wheeler. I mean,
nobody
I
was hurt.
All to say. All the Cowboys drink, because obviously, you know, every other show we talk about a Cowboy.
I blame it all on Jerry Jones. He's driving them to drink with his GM game.
Listen, I heard I don't know, I'm not going to say facts. I heard some stuff about the story where they actually pulled, you know, once he got into the accident, the police came there. And, you know, because of probable cause, they didn't really think he was drunk at first. But because of probable cause, you have him do the little field sobriety test. He can't do some of the balance stuff, but after that goes down, he tells them, well, the reason I can't do that is because of prior football injuries or whatever. But he didn't tell them that beforehand. So, you know, they took him in or whatever, booked him. They said he was acting like the nicest dude. He was cooperating. And then once he got to the station, he started to get a little indignant. They said they wanted to do a blood alcohol test, and he refused. So they had to go back, get a warrant. They came back with a warrant. They didn't do the breathalyzer. They drew blood. So, really, you know, this story is out that he's arrested for DWI, but until those tests come back, we really don't know if the dude was legally drunk or not. So, it's one of those things we might have to reserve judgment and slander him next week when the blood tests come out. But
they take the Cowboys. He's catching it right now.
The fact that they're always in this type of situation, like, I'm not really understanding it. And he gave them a real cornball story of where he was, where he was coming from, and why he was in the place he was when he got into the accident. Because they said where he said he was and where he was going, it didn't really make sense for him to be on that road. But he said, look, I was just going where my GPS told me to go.
Yo,
so he basically...
He was supposed to be going from his girl's house to his house. So you need GPS to go from your chick's house to home.
Maybe he went to see maybe he was visiting Kakua. But yo, let's not
he was visiting Lanai.
let's not let facts get in the way. He's a doodle because he plays for the Cowboys. Anyway, man. Last story. Speaking of noodles, Jamarcus Rubbish, aka Jamarcus Russell, aka Don't Blow My High, I'm Sipping on Purple Rain, is attempting a comeback. He's currently He's down to 300 pounds and he wants to play quarterback right now.
He's down to 308. But listen,
I'm sorry, 308.
I
was giving him a benefit of the doubt.
But listen, he's down to 308 from 320. Why are you bragging about losing 12 pounds? I'm ready to go, y'all. I'm down to 308 from 320.
My man wants to play. I mean, you know what? There's nothing wrong with that size if you were playing tackle or nose guard.
Yeah. Let me characterize his career with what one announcer from another network says. It's not his arm strength. He has an extremely strong arm, but when he releases the ball, no one, including himself, knows where the ball is going.
The funny thing is the speculation is, because, you know, he got that $30 million, you know, he played three seasons and got $39 million for it. And there's been rumors over the past couple of years that he was going broke. So y'all think this comeback has anything to do with him needing money? Or do you think all of a sudden it's clicked in this guy and he really – really wants to make a name for himself? Because what he says he doesn't want people to remember him as a bust, but don't y'all think that ship has sailed already?
Yeah, the ship has sailed. He's working out with Jeff Garcia and Marshall Faulk, so he's tricked them into believing.
Two random-ass players, though. Like, what is that? What kind of workout is that?
Well, Jeff Garcia is one of the dudes
is
that took
an
his spot
shape.
In Raiders, so he knows the dude. So he's right, you know. But
that's two random-ass players. Like, what is the common denominator between those two? Like, that's just random as hell.
Well,
maybe they work for them because he's working at the Test Football Academy, so maybe they're
okay.
Maybe
right.
they have an affiliation.
Let me, that's like saying
I'm working out with Andre Reed and like Kevin Green. Like, this is random as hell.
But he said Jeff Garcia Austin is working with him on technique, and Marshall Faulk is working with him on reading defenses.
But I can believe that from Marshall Faulk because they said
Marshall was a highly intelligent player. Absolutely.
And I respect Jeff Garcia. You know, he's the first alternative lifestyle NFL player that I support and I'm a fan of. But the way that they play quarterback and see the game is going to be completely different because Jeff Garcia is like 6 feet and 190, and dude is like 6'5 and 3 million pounds. So
six,
I don't – yeah. So let me say this. I was never a believer to begin with. In your rubbish garbage. I never thought that he was good. I never thought that he mastered the cerebral parts of the game for me. And so I thought that coming out of LSU. So I don't think that he has suddenly sprouted a brain after all of the drug abuse and he's going to suddenly come back and be any better, even if it's a serious endeavor on his part. I don't think he has it.
I just question how serious he is. Like, I hope it's not about money, because if it's about money, then you aren't really serious. Because remember,
you gotta
he
love
had
it.
John Lucas as a life coach. When John Lucas quits on you.
Yo, if John Lucas can't
John
get
Lucas
you right.
don't quit on nobody. If John Lucas quits on you, come on, man.
Yeah.
Yo!
Like, then you really he really didn't respect you. But this dude's won, like, seven out of 25 starts. 52% passing, and 18 touchdowns, 23 interceptions in his career.
Dev is right, man. John Lucas is a friend of the show, even though he's never been on the show. John will go and sleep in the gutter with you. Like, he'll go lay down.
I've never seen, yo, he's
staying
with Lloyd.
I think it's pretty good advice. Unless you can manage it socially, Dan. If you can manage it socially, then go for it. But not a lot of people can, you know?
Word. That's all you need to hear, man.
Yeah,
John Lucas gave up on you.
We did.
Yeah, so. I pretty much, man. Last thing I got to say is this. I know that Jeff Garcia is working with him in terms of technique and Marshall Faulk in terms of reading a defense, but I just want to know who's working with him in terms of reading English.
And speaking
Honey Badger.
Yo,
all
they
right.
hang out,
okay,
too, Jeff. He hangs out with the Honey Badger.
He need to get him off his team. But look, everybody, y'all can check out our website at warroomsports.com. While you're there, be sure to sign up for the War Report. That's our weekly newsletter. Click on the Contact Us tab to send us a message about our company, the show, or to inquire about sponsorship and advertising opportunities. For general inquiries, email us at info@warroomsports.com. While you're browsing the site, click on the memorabilia tab to buy War Room Sports merchandise. Then click the blog tab to read our latest sports articles on the All's Fair in Sports and War blog. Then click the respective icons to like our Facebook page, to follow us on Twitter, subscribe to our iTunes podcast, download our free War Room Sports mobile app on your Android devices, or you can watch our videos at warroomsportstv.com. Join the JW Philly Realty chat room right now during the show at blogtalkradio.com/thewarroom. To get into the chat room, just sign up for a free profile on Blog Talk Radio. If you're too lazy to do that, sign in through your Facebook or Twitter accounts. We know you got those. And while you're at it, click follow to make the War Room one of your favorite Blog Talk Radio shows, and to get updates and reminders about the show. We'll be taking questions and reading posts from Facebook, Twitter, and the chat room every week during the show. Call in and speak to us. Just dial the Digital Extreme Technologies hotline at 323-410-0012. Press 1 when listening from your phone. Just press 1 if you want to talk. Pressing 1 is like raising your hand. So go ahead and raise your hand, and we might just call on you. Let's get into some of these hot topics real quick. Because, you know, a few big things happened this week. Of course, later on, we got to start our Super Bowl coverage. Hot Topics are brought to you by Audible. Is your schedule too hectic to read as much as you want? Well, try audiobooks and kick back and let someone else do the reading for you. All you got to do is visit Audible and sign up for your free trial at audibletrial.com/warroomsports. In no time, you could be listening to the latest bestsellers, hands-free, stress-free, while getting other things done at the same time. Of course, in other news, Oregon hires offensive coordinator Mark Halfrick as head coach, replacing the departed Chip Kelly. I'm sure they're upset with that dude. I got a question for y'all, man. In light of Lance Armstrong confession to Oprah and the Manti Te'o story, which grows legs every single day, how do you guys think these stories will affect the relationships between athletes and journalists? I ask you this because these are the type of stories where, you know, back in the day, journalists didn't just take somebody's word and just run with it. You know, everybody did their due diligence. But we're living in a time of who gets the story out first, not necessarily who gets the story right. But do y'all think the fact that Manti had all of these people going, whether it was from his doing or not, and the fact that a lot of people, you know, stood up for Lance Armstrong for all of these years and he turned out to be a fraud, do you guys think that journalists and athletes, do you think that affect their relationship in the locker room?
No, because I think this generation of athlete is, you know, they suffer from the same ills that the general public and the audience suffers from, which is I'm going to go to the news media outlet that has the largest following that's going to give me the news story the fastest with the most sensation. And so if you're conditioned to where you don't know any better or see anything different, you don't know that anything's wrong with that.
Okay.
You don't know
man,
that anything's wrong with that.
Go ahead. You got to say,
go ahead.
No, go ahead.
You're
good.
I'll go some more if y'all want. I just want to say, Lance, I mean, it's a situation where certain people will still take the word for it because they want access. It's like Rick Rowley was taken up for Lance Armstrong up until the day he admitted it. And he still didn't believe that Lance did it, even if Lance admitted it. But one of the things is all this time during the whole story, he had access to Lance because Connor was on Lance's side.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Which means you're biased. You're biased and your the integrity of your stories is in question.
And that's why I asked you guys about the relationships going forward, because a lot of journalists lost their credibility over this. Like, you just hear that, you know, this guy's girlfriend dies of leukemia the same day his grandmother dies, and everybody just runs to get that out there, or what a sad story, and Manti is such a strong person, and you're being duped the whole time because nobody does their due diligence like they did back in the day.
Man.
So, like, where's journalistic integrity these days? I don't get it.
Well, here's the thing.
They're making them look like clowns.
Before I actually speak on Manti, I just got to, like, you know, say one thing real quick to Manti.
That's Roger.
That's our Manti Te'o. That's Manti's theme song. But I just want to say that I read a great article. I can't remember the writer's name, but I know the website was The Slate. And the article was in reference to how sports media writes these days. It's kind of like when they have in their head that an athlete's a bad guy, when they go to do a story about them, they really don't check anything. They just get a couple quotables from people they know, and they paint the story as him being a bad guy. When they think he's a good guy, it's the same thing. Nothing's fully vetted. And like you said, we live in a society where everything's about, you know, immediacy. So this is kind of how it's done. And I don't think it's going to change, because at the end of the day, the stories that you got about his girlfriend and his grandmother were, they were, you know, something to talk about at that time. And after you break the man down, it's still more to talk about. So nobody's even holding these guys accountable. The whole story is about how bad of a guy he is, not how bad the story was promoted or anything like that. They don't care. And then I think there's a problem with a lot of the media companies merging with the actual sports. For instance, ESPN is in business with the NCAA. So there's only so much they can do in terms of writing and you know, their integrity as well, because they do business with them. They have to worry about these contracts and these things. So it's kind of like a conflict of interest sometimes.
Yeah. Well, and Jimmy, that's speaking to my point exactly. The audience is now conditioned to a sensational story. The truth and journalistic integrity are so far down on the priority list that at times they don't even appear. It's sad, man. It's really sad.
Yeah. Well, speaking, man, of this Manti story, man, did any of you guys get to see the interview that they aired today on the Katie Couric show? Did y'all watch that yet?
No, I have not.
I'm tired.
I didn't lie to you. I'm tired of this dude, man.
Yo,
check this out.
Check that interview out when you get a chance. To me,
I'm laughing.
It seemed like the dude, you know, it seemed like he's lying to me. It's a lot of things that she asked him, and it seemed like every reaction that I had, she had the same reaction. Like, because she's asking him questions in a way where it's kind of one question leads to the next, and if you answer this second question wrong, then what you said for the first question doesn't even make sense. And she called him like that a few times. So, in my opinion, it's either the dude is lying, and of course his handlers have prepped him to actually go out now and answer questions, maybe prepped his family and whoever else is involved, maybe even the dude that they're putting all the blame on now, you know, he might be just taking the bullet for Manti at this point. If he's not lying and this whole thing was the truth, then this is the dumbest brother I've ever seen in my life. There were so many signs that this whole thing was not on the up and up, and dude just kept going with it because, like Jimmy played for y'all earlier, this dude just needed some computer love or something.
Yeah, no doubt. I'm laughing.
Yo, he was that sprung out on a John, and he didn't do any farming of the yams?
He didn't even meet.
Listen, in our chat room, the season ticket, it says it goes both ways. The athletes are thirst for coverage, and the reporters are thirst to get the first story. So there's extra thirst going on, which is why, to answer your original question, Dev, it's not going to change.
You would think, though. I mean, because like Jimmy said, like more of the attention was placed on the whole story on this. But, you know, I did hear a few outlets actually taking the reporters to task. And, you know, a lot of people, maybe not all of them, but a lot of those dudes take their job seriously and what people think of them. That's why I was wondering how it would go going forward. But I do agree with you. It's probably not going to change. But look, let's switch gears a little bit because there was another big story that came out this week.
Huge.
Tim Brown says that Bill Callahan, former Raiders coach, sabotaged his own Raiders team in Super Bowl 37 by changing the game plan on that Friday, 2 days before the Super Bowl. Now, the story was they came into the week with a run-heavy – they practiced all week with a run-heavy attack. Then he changed the game plan on Friday, supposedly to call up to 60 pass plays. In the game, they ended up passing 44 times and getting drilled after Rich Gannon turned the ball over 5 times. Jerry Rice came out to back this claim, saying that he thought that Callahan hated the Raiders so much. The only reason he came to the Raiders is because he was good friends with John Gruden. So when John Gruden left for the Bucks, he figured he'd give his friend a championship. Of course, Tim Brown has since backtracked off these comments, but that kind of leaves the dudes, Jerry Rice, Charlie Garner, those dudes who backed you, that kind of throws them under the bus because they came out and backed you up, and now you're backtracking. What do you guys think about this whole thing?
Man, this story is so out there. It's amazing. It's like, where do you start? On one hand, there is some validity to the claim, and here's why. When you look at the complexity of an NFL offense and an NFL defense for that matter, but particularly an NFL offense, there's no way that you can change a game plan, a game strategy on a Friday after working through it for a week, and in this case for a Super Bowl 2 weeks, for a game that's going to be played on Sunday. So there's where that's a valid point to look at. But then you have to ask yourself, well, Tim Brown, why would you come out and say this? There's been no hint of this for 10 years. So now 10 years later, you decide to drop this bomb. And one could say that, you know, you guys are a little fickle with just losing the game. You know, you got blown out. Mm-hmm. And then you look at the fact that the Raiders passed all all year long. So them to for them to deviate from being a pass heavy offense to now being a run heavy offense just for the Super Bowl,
listen, it is a lot here, man. The Raiders led the league in passing yardage that year. They set a franchise record with 619.
That was my point. I was getting ready to
pass
attempt. You stole my point.
My bad. Like that's so the whole thing. Call him stupid for waiting till the last minute to change the game plan, but it is a very large accusation to say that somebody threw a Super Bowl so his friend could win it. Like, did they not understand the ramifications of saying something that serious? I don't really.
Yo,
I mean,
that's nuts. That's nuts.
You're
and
talking,
as big as
you're
football,
about
as
a,
big as
you're
football
about
is,
a bunch
the
of
Justice
Raiders,
Department
man.
Could get in. The Justice Department could get involved on something at this level. Like, that's a nuts statement. That's a nuts statement.
All I'm saying is this, man. Like, I just don't understand the entire story because, like Dev just said, what was his point to let your friend win? Who let their friend win the Super Bowl? What the hell is that? I'm going to let you win the bowl. Are you going to cut me a check? What's the conspiracy here? What did he give him at the end of letting him win the Super Bowl?
There's one.
I mean, but you know, a lot of people went with it
player.
Just because Jerry Rice said it. But.
Right. Just,
man,
yeah.
That's Jerry Rice, man.
And there's one. There's and his hairline and them Dookie braid cornrows that he had while playing. There's one particular person in all of this that I want to hear from, and that's Barrett Robbins, because as y'all know, he went AWOL the night or the week before or that Friday actually and went down to Mexico and lost his religion.
Yeah, and Jerry Rice said he did that because of the coach and all of that kind of stuff.
Seriously,
the dude was later diagnosed bipolar. So everybody knew
he was nuts. Everybody knew he was nuts, though. So
yo,
they
he
said,
wasn't even a league after that, man. They said, come on, man. Yo, come on, man. It's a whole story ridiculous. The team's leading rusher had 920 yards for the entire season.
I do think it's ridiculous, but are y'all saying that it's not plausible at all? I don't know. I just don't think so.
And in my opinion, had nothing to do with Callahan coming out because I thought it was ridiculous before he even said anything. But Jimmy, what were you about to say?
I was going to say their leading rusher had like 925 yards for the season, and they were a pass-happy team. If I'm not mistaken, wasn't Rich Gannon the MVP?
Rich Gannon was the MVP, had the best season of his life. This is my speculation. My speculation is he probably went to that run-heavy thing thinking, okay, they have a small defensive front, so let's run the ball more. He probably panicked by Friday. Like, why am I changing the game plan going against what brought us here?
Man, you can't change a player's game in the ninth inning.
Yeah, he's probably like I'm going to go back to being us. But this is what I don't understand. This is a question I got for both of you guys. These are two of the greatest receivers in NFL history. Tim Brown, you know, way less than Jerry Rice. They had a record-setting season for the Raiders that year. Why 10 years later are two receivers, and we know how receivers want the rock all the time, why are two receivers bitching about them throwing the ball too much in the Super Bowl?
Bitching about throwing a rock. Yeah.
Are you serious? If anybody threw the game, it was Rich Gannon and his 5 interceptions. But can we give the Tampa Bay defense some props? Because that defense was one of the greatest defenses that the NFL has ever seen. They dominated all season long, and they dominated in the Super Bowl. Where's the conspiracy theory coming from, man? Stop being bitter and slandering
this man.
That's
why I hate Raiders, man.
But no reason.
I hate the Raiders. That's why I hate the Raiders. They're all a bunch of queers and losers. Anyway, man, this is a non-story, man. It's really a non-story. It's a joke, man.
It's a definite joke, man. I don't get it, man. I don't get it.
You know, and as a matter of fact, man, we got a Tampa Bay Buccaneers fan on the line right now because I know this is him. I don't even have to screen. This is the homie DJ Willie G, a.k.a.
We got 2 minutes left on this story, man. Tell us what's your thoughts on this story, man.
What's up, man? Hey, I just want to defend my team Super Bowl. The fact that they're trying to discredit the whole thing, word is the whole situation is they went back to the same plays they was running the whole season. Now it was said that they didn't change the play calls, and being that John Gruden just left, they already knew, Bus already knew what they were going to run before they ran it.
Yeah, they were running his offense.
Exactly. So if they set up in the offense that your head coach already know what you think is going to happen. You know what I'm saying?
I'm telling you, I think it was a situation where I think they should be questioning the game plan that he tried to install earlier in the week. Like, why did we get here on all of this passing, and now you want to run the ball all of a sudden? And like Jimmy said, our leading rusher got 900 yards for the season. That's what people should be questioning right now. But I saw a whole lot of people on social media actually defending this nonsense.
Probably a bunch of dirty Raiders fans.
I just wanted to defend my Bucks Super Bowl, man. We only got one of them things, so you know what I'm saying.
No, man. As much as we talk trash with you about the Bucks and you know and the Eagles and whatever, man, you ain't gotta defend that. Y'all smacked them dudes, man, and that's that. Like, as well as that defense played all year, you gonna sit here and question them? Like, come on, man. I'm not trying to.
Willie G, man, don't
Tim
worry
Brown
about it, man.
That's why he ain't in the Hall of Fame now.
So Tim Brown, Jerry Rice, and Charlie Garner, and whoever else stepped up, they have no validity or credibility with you guys.
Well, Frank Middleton, Rich Gannon, Lincoln Kennedy, Bill Romanowski. Now, you can take Romanowski off the list because he's just an ignorant dude. But plenty of dudes stepped up to defend the coach, too, saying that this was nonsense. Nobody's denying a change of game plan, but they're saying this whole he wanted to let Gruden win, he threw the Super Bowl, it's nonsense. And they said that. And even Tim Brown went back and said, I didn't say that he threw the he's backtracking now. He's backtracking like
a
cornerback.
He said I didn't say sabotage, but you know, he sabotaged it.
It was a radio interview. So he's trying to. Trust me, y'all, I've been on the other side of the media maybe editing something the wrong way and twisting up your story on TV. I've been on the other side of that. And you know, I know how that can work. But this was a live radio interview. Nobody twisted your words, dude. This is what you said. And now you're trying to backtrack. Talking about, you know,
listen,
I didn't say sabotage.
In terms of your question, Austin, you got to understand that Charlie Gardner smokes so much verbal herbals that he doesn't remember anything anyway. And the fact of the matter is, this dude is coming out like now backtracking, like Dev said. So it's this whole thing is a joke, man. And the people defending him are a bunch of dirty Raiders fans. Like, Raiders fans, 80% of them have low IQs and are dirty. And this is what they do. They look for anything. I mean, these guys are not – they haven't won since, like, 83 when Thriller came out. So now – they want to say that when they finally got to the bowl that, you know, someone sabotaged it. Man,
shut up, man. You have to acknowledge your bias against Raiders, the Raiders
Nation. No, I feel the same way about Cowboys fans, but only 70% of them are dirty. Listen, man, Raiders fans have low IQs, and they're a bunch
just
of dirty,
ones not
a bunch
from
of dirty
Texas.
Morons, man.
The ones not from Texas dirty.
Yo, they dirty, man. I'm telling you, man. Yo, I'm telling you, they smell like backwash and uterine lining. They're a bunch of dirty, dirty Nimrods, man.
Hey, DJ Willie G, man, as usual, thanks for your call, man. And tell your
man,
man, get with us, man. We can have him on the show for one of our sports and hip-hop shows. So,
all right, I'll let him know.
Hook that up for us. All right, man, thanks for your call.
All right, bro.
All right, DJ. Easy.
Yo.
Yo, Jimmy crazy, man.
Yo, you know, the Cowboys and Raiders fans, they're one of the same, man. That's all I got to say. I'm going to leave it at that, man.
All right, cool. All right, let's talk some NBA briefly, man.
No doubt, man. Y'all ready to have? You know, this is my favorite part of the show. It's the NBA Wrap, which is brought to you by Fanatics. For the best in your favorite team's merchandise and apparel, shop Fanatics. Shopping Fanatics is easy. Just go to our site, WorldofSports.com, look for the Fanatics logo, and click right there. Or you can just see it on our sponsor page. And you'll get the latest in NFL, NBA, hockey's back. Buy some hockey gear. Major League Baseball, NCAA, whatever you want. Just go check it right there at WorldofSports.com. A couple things I just want to mention real quick. The Hornets are moving along with plans to become the Pelicans next season.
Any
comments on that? Because I know all you dudes, I know how y'all feel about it, so there's nothing needs to be said.
Nah,
also,
fly Pelicans.
The Miami Heat are visiting the White House on Monday. FOH to them because my team didn't win a chip, so who cares? And the last thing I want to have a brief mention is about the Knicks. The Knicks actually have surpassed the Lakers as the NBA's most valuable team on the Forbes list, and they're worth an estimated $1.1 billion with a B.
Yeah. They said the renovation to the Garden had a lot to do with that.
Man, the Garden needs to be torn down and rebuilt. That thing's a dump. Anyway, let's jump into it. And as you know, we always start off our NBA rap talking about the players of the week, and those players are Carlos Boozer and Kevin Durant. Dev, you got their stats?
Again, yeah, Boozer led the Bulls to a 3-1 week, which included wins over Atlanta and Toronto. There were people who keep getting these awards, beating nobody. He averaged 23 a game, 14.8 rebounds, and he recorded a point rebound double-double in all four games last week. He had a 19.20 board game on the 18th during the win over the Celtics. So they did beat the Celtics. Well, they garbage too, though. Durant and the OKC went 3-1 last week. They beat the Nuggets and the Suns and the Mavericks. He led the league with 37.5 points a game and recorded a career and NBA season high 52 against the Mavs when they beat them last night. So Durant, he's won this 2 weeks in a row and 4 weeks so far this season. So does that put him atop the MVP race? Or is LeBron just steady? LeBron got three of these. I mean, this doesn't really count because you could win it every week and then the voters just won't vote for you to win. And then, you know.
This is absolutely true.
Yeah.
I want to talk about my man Joe Budden, a.k.a. Carlos Boozer.
He stomped the Mavs' heads in.
Yeah, like, it's difficult to stay long term, man, because the season doesn't really get into full gear until, you know, after the All-Star break. So you never know how it'll go.
You know,
like you just said, they can vote for you every week and then change their mind.
This season better hurry up and get in the gear. This season stinks, but we'll talk about that in a minute.
But first of all, speaking of stink, let's talk about the Los Angeles Lakers, which is my team, by the way, but they definitely stink. I'm not delusional. And I know DJ Willie G is probably pissed at me because he's a Lakers fan, but I got to keep it funky. You're horrid right now. The team had a meeting to air their grievances. So what do you guys think about this? There's no team meeting spells doom in any sport.
They were airing grievances. It was Festivus. They said the center of this meeting, of course, was Kobe and Dwight Howard. Now, these reports have kind of been kiboshed by Dwight Howard, but the way he handles the media, you really never know when he's telling the truth or not. But they said in the meeting, Kobe asked Dwight if he was bothered by playing alongside of him. Because, you know, Kobe, he acknowledged that he could be hard to play with at times. Howard said no in the meeting, but then he went to the media and disputed the fact that Kobe ever asked him that. So I'm not sure, man. I'm not sure.
Don't need a man that'll give you money. Yo, this dude is sensitive, man.
Yo,
there's a bunch of sensitive Trezvanny individuals dealing in this thing. My problem is this. If you got beef as a team, first of all, you should be mad and you should have beef with each other. If you guys didn't have beef and you didn't air out grievances, then I would think it's a problem because the team's not playing well. I want to see my best players fight. I mean, not to the point where it's like Shaq and Kobe, you start snitching to the cops. But, I mean, I want to see you get each other's face in reference to basketball because, you know.
They won three chips while rumbling, so maybe you do want Shaq and Kobe.
I would rather
see
a Shaq and Kobe dispute. Yeah.
Exactly, because they were so hard-pressed to one each other up, they played well.
Right. What I don't like about Dwight Howard is it's so passive-aggressive. Yeah, it's so McNabbish. Like Dwight Howard, he should have probably just stayed in Orlando because I don't think he's ready to play with a teammate like Kobe who holds you accountable.
Great point.
I think he wants to be coddled. I think he wants to be, you know what I'm saying? I don't think he's like, he just wants people to like him and just have fun playing basketball. I don't think he wants to be held accountable on that level.
Yo, man, it's the lack of fathers in these dudes' lives. Like, Dwight Howard is extremely feminine in his psychological makeup, like the way he behaves. He's wishy-washy, you know, and change. I don't know, man.
Don't need a man that'll give you money. Listen, here's the thing, though. I'm going to be perfectly honest with you, and I thought about PJ. You make a great point, but I don't even know if it's just Kobe. I think that it's the bright lights. You play with the Lakers now. You're expected to play a certain way and compete. And I think that he was okay being in Orlando just competing but not, like, you know, winning a championship.
He went out to the Lakers.
But, Jimmy, there was no expectations in Orlando, even though they
had
some
success. My point. My thing is I don't know if he could deal with that because, I mean, Kobe takes a lot of the blame. And I like I said, with the Lakers, there's a lot of blame to go around. But Dwight Howard is not who we thought he would be. If Dwight Howard played this year like he played last year, now, granted, he's coming off back surgery.
Let me give him the back injury excuse. Is it the injury, Jimmy?
But it's not just that. It's his Trezvanny behavior. I read an interview he did with, I think it was the L.A. Times or something, and the guy was like, this is in the middle of the way, this is an interview in the middle of this season, and he's in an interview talking about how he cries in movies, and he's an emotional player, like he's an emotional person,
man.
And he's so scared to fail, which is why he doesn't take jump shots that he makes in practice because he has a fear of failing, and it's often makes him cry. And how he cries. He talked about how he cried when the Heat won the championship because those are his friends and he didn't have a championship. And how he cried when they lost. This whole interview, he's talking about how he's sitting around crying. I'm like, yo, this is a Trezvanny individual. He is not built for the bright lights in L.A., man. He's a physical monster, but he's soft, dude.
Yo, what I heard, Jimmy, is that Tampax has offered him an endorsement deal.
Who?
Tampax.
I'm not commenting on that, man. Don't need a man that'll give you money.
No.
You need a man. Oh, my fault. But I'm tired of talking about this woman.
That's the bad part about it, though, Jimmy. It's like the Lakers are the only story in the NBA this year.
Yeah, and this is what I'm getting ready to get into. Because I'm going to tell you, beginning this season, I was so excited. I was like, the Clippers are relevant. The Lakers are relevant. The Nets
That's
are relevant.
That's why I was boring.
You have LA and New York. LA and New York have two teams each that are relevant. But the season seems to be a little boring. And my question to you guys is, like, do you share the same opinion that this season is boring thus far overall?
I don't think it's boring. I'm actually interested in watching the Los Angeles Clippers. Like, they're fun. It's fun to watch my man Jay Crossover bring out the ironing board and put people's face under that iron on the board.
So you don't think this season's been boring?
So you think the season's fun because you like watching one team?
I was gonna get into my other.
I've been impressed with Steph Curry. Mm-hmm. I've been impressed with Drew Holiday. The Knicks are back.
I'm impressed by a couple of individual players too, man, but it's 32 teams and a couple thousand people in this league.
Man, the Bucks and Minnesota have been what they are.
Man, the season has been terrible. Like, even the teams that are doing well, it's like, okay, Oklahoma City's killing, Miami's killing. The season is so boring. Miami's doing what they're doing under the radar. Nobody even talks about the Heat anymore, and they got a couple of the best players in the league on their team. Like, I seriously feel like a hostage because I have to watch because of what we do. Like,
right.
If I could just skip this and go watch some sitcoms, I'd do that. It's terrible every night, man. I can't do
it's not, it. Yo, it's more to just the bad teams. It's like, it's bad. Even some of the best teams that are
even
winning,
the good teams
like,
play bad basketball.
You know what I mean? It's like the good teams have players that are so great that they win based off, like, running fast breaks and getting blocks and just getting out and moving.
Yeah,
that's true. They have superior talent.
That's the overall degradation of the league and the product.
Absolutely, but I'm saying it's getting worse. It's like nobody's playing good basketball. And, you know, it's just, to me, it's bad. But I thought about this, and it's bad a lot of times. And it's a season that has, like, lulls. It starts off, like, very hot. It's exciting. Then you have this, like, time period we're in now where it gets kind of, like, horrible. Then you have the All-Star break, and after the All-Star break, it usually starts to pick up, so I'm hoping...
But you know what it is, though, Jimmy? You know what a big part of it could be? First of all, 82 games is too much, especially in today's NBA. 82 games might not be too much if there were more competitive teams, but since there aren't, certain teams can coast and still win games. Or even if they're coasting and they lose a couple, it doesn't matter because we know we're going to get to the playoffs. Kind of like the Celtics used to do. I'm not saying they're doing that now because they're just not as good. But, you know, they used to kind of coast, get into the playoffs, flip that switch. A lot of the good teams know that they can do that now. So why do anything good over 82 games? Because we can still beat the Toronto Raptors
when we're playing at 80%. You know,
and it's funny because it's like you said, 82 seems like it's so many games now. And the lockout last season was kind of exciting with the lockout, you know, because there was so many games and so many nights. But
yeah, because you had to play harder because you had to make a push.
82 doesn't, man. But I'm just hoping that after the All-Star break, because usually, man, after the All-Star break, man, that's when you, like, you know, separate the weak from the obsolete. You know what I mean? It's hard to creep in Brooklyn streets. But anyway, that's what
PJ, you bored, man? You bored, PJ?
It is boring. I mean, it's like it's nothing competitive that's there to watch. Like, it's nothing that you're watching to see, like, some type of, you know, high-level competition. Like you said earlier, the biggest story in basketball is the demise of the Lakers.
LaVoy Allen.
A stinking team.
Right, so it's nothing like, and I mean, usually, just like Jimmy said, usually after the All-Star break, usually it picks up because the game starts to matter a little bit more. But right now, it's just nothing to engage you with the sport in the game because it's like business as usual, except for the Lakers being the bad team. So that's kind of like the story. Everything else is kind of like business as usual.
The Wizards are fun to watch.
I'd rather watch Duke get smacked by Miami every night. Rather than
I'd rather watch Villanova run on the court prematurely because they beat a top team, like they won a championship or something.
I'd rather watch Californication off the DVR box. I mean, that's
now, I mean, if we're going to take it dead, you know what I mean?
Watch Love and Hip Hop, The Mindy Project. New
watch
Girl.
Joe Button do lines of cocaine.
With an X and smash.
I like,
I like
the World Star Hip Hop series with Pinky in him.
Yo,
you went too far. You went too far, bro.
Now he getting NC-17 on y'all. He getting NC-17 with it.
If you said Cherokee, no fault. Let's go. Let's move on, man.
Just honk it.
Let's talk about the All Star starters, yo. We got CP3, Kobe, KD, Blake, and Howard. Seriously, two Lakers though. Versus Rondo, D Wade, LeBron James, Melo, and KG. How about Melo and KG in the starting lineup?
I know.
Yo,
right?
My
question. You got, how about
man
Kobe
have,
and Dwight in the starting lineup?
A necklace made of Cheerios.
Kobe and Dwight don't like each other. Melo and KG don't like each other. You know what Dwight and Cheerios
taste like?
Tag
team match and just rumble. Yo, that might be more exciting than an All Star game. Man.
Exactly.
You know what Dwight and Cheerios taste
match,
like?
Yo.
Yeah.
Anyway, what you got to think about these teams?
I don't know. I'm like, did they get it right?
Anybody? All right, how about this?
I'm assuming if Bynum would have
like,
been playing, he would have been the starting center in the East or, the, you know, on that front court.
Mm-hmm.
Is KG the best option? Or is, a fan, or is that just popularity at this
point? Bear y'all out, so y'all say
you might. What about Tyson?
They weren't gonna vote him in anyway.
I mean, Tyson Chandler,
what about Tyson
Lopez, all them over PG, in my opinion.
You know what, though? But I'm looking at this as like, okay, fans didn't have much of a choice. So maybe that might be the whole thing.
I have the highest regard and respect for Tyson Chandler, but I'm cool on seeing him in an All-Star game.
I mean,
he's not an exciting All-Star player.
He's not
exactly.
An exciting player, but is KG exciting to watch, too?
Only when he's talking trash, which is pretty much all game.
I'd rather see him hit them long J's than Tyson Chandler be somebody's Muppet on a string going to the basket on pick and rolls.
Yeah. But anyway, man, so other than that, what about this, though? What about, like,
For us, honestly, Jimmy, real quick, for us as fans and students of the game, I think we're going to find the reserves more compelling than the starters.
Now, have the reserves been named yet? Because the reason I ask is because I'm in our chat room and somebody said Drew is in, and I don't know.
Yeah,
Drew
was in today too.
They're named tonight.
Yeah,
they're
named
today.
All
right, well.
Okay.
And a shout out to Jetty Marr too. We talked to him the other day in the Broad Street. Now he's over here with us right now. So he said Drew is in. So let's see if that's the case. You know,
woo!
He definitely deserves to be in.
Yep, I heard that today too.
Yeah, Howie deserves to be in, man. With that being said, man, Dev, before we start talking some football and talk about what happened in this past weekend's playoff games and what's going to happen, you know, during the bowl, tell everybody very fast how they can get in touch with us.
All right, y'all can check out our website at warroomsports.com to call in and speak to us about any of today's topics. Dial the Digital Extreme Technologies hotline at 323-410-0012. Press 1 when prompted. If you're already listening from your phone, just press 1 if you want to talk. We try to get at you.
No doubt. Now, the NFL Talk is definitely brought to you by Stitcher Smart Radio. You can now hear our show, The War Room, on Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher allows you to listen to your favorite shows directly from your computer, your iPhone, your Android phone, your BlackBerry or a Palm phone. But if you happen to have a BlackBerry or Palm phone, go right to your roof right now as I'm talking and jump. Anyway, the latest episode is always available for you. No thinking needed, no memory or storage wasted. Go to Stitcher.com/The War Room, which is one word. And for the coupon code, use The War Room that enters you in a contest to win millions and millions of money. Now, a couple quick points I want to make, and that's that the Jets owner says that Revis is on the trading block. Who cares? The Jets stink. The Fayol family is suing the NFL, a helmet manufacturer, and NFL Films. Anybody got any questions?
They're going for the hat trick.
How you going to come out to NFL Films?
They tripping, man. The Fayol family is basically saying that, you know, they're suing the NFL for neglect. I mean, they're trying to say that they had the knowledge and information on what these head injuries could do to people after their career, and they were hiding it. They're suing the helmet manufacturers for not making a better product, I guess. And they're suing NFL Films for glorifying big hits and stuff like that. Yeah, I'm trying. Like, is this legit, or have they found a way to try to get some money after the death of Junior? Like, I don't even know if I'm feeling this whole thing, because this is one of those reasons. You know, we say every week, like, yeah, they might as well start wearing skirts, and the game is getting soft. But can you blame them? Every time they turn around, somebody has a lawsuit, and they're trying to sue them for what football players already know when they sign up. Like.
There's an assumed risk when you go into the sport. I mean, here's my question. I mean, not to digress, but can boxers sue then? I mean, you going into sport knowing that you can get knocked out. I mean, it's just
from what I've read, and I don't know how true it is because I haven't seen, like, all the evidence, there's evidence that the NFL had information and withheld it in terms of the risk of the game. So they were told by doctors previous that, yo, you need to put this certain type of padding in helmets. You need to do X, Y, Z. And instead of doing that for financial reasons, they withheld the information.
Now,
but
that's how the tobacco companies got in trouble with cigarettes.
Exactly,
that's how the tobacco companies got
analogy.
Sued because of
perfect
information
analogy.
That they didn't, yeah.
Then
the
you know what?
Read, that's the analogy they use.
If that's true, like, Jim, like, then, you know, if they, like I said, if they had the information and they hid it, then there's definitely a case to be made about that because, in my opinion, not even for financial reasons. I don't think you have to hide it because football players are built a certain way. You give them that information, they're going to play anyway. Like, you got cats now who
even
have
now
information.
With all that.
Yeah, and they still take that assumed risk. Like, I was listening to a couple of shows this morning where they're saying players are still trying to hide concussions as best as they can, even with the information that they have.
I heard man Tequio Spike say that he would do it today. He would still hide it.
Yeah.
Man,
yeah.
Stuart Bradley ran back out on the field, and he wasn't even fully awake.
He ran back on the field sleeping.
And even last season when Mike Vick got hurt against the Redskins and they try to, you know, he allowed the Eagles to go tell the press that they were just taking grass out of his helmet when he was, you know, clearly snoring inside of his face.
Man,
like,
listen, man, Mike Vick has been playing with a concussion for 10 years. I knew that.
Yo,
I knew
he's
that.
Still concussed.
I knew that when you guys remember he did that interview and he was like, man, I got two, my leg, my arm, and my brain.
Yo, based on where Mike Vick is from and the way that
he's been
goes,
concussed, dog.
He's probably always hiding a concussion. And can he really hide it because he's not too bright to begin with?
I'm about to say, you heard many interviews from a man, and you know he ain't good at hiding it. Because if you hear him talk, he ain't that good with the
commercials.
To
say out
the hall, please.
They say that the helmets, the Rydell helmets, are negligent in their design. Testing, assembly, manufacture, and marketing. They said that they're unreasonably dangerous and unsafe. Unreasonably, though? Like,
yo, but here's my thing. All right, this aside, now moving forward, right?
What could he do?
It's like moving forward. First of all, if football's still around in 10 years, they're going to have like 18,000 defenders before the game starts. And it's just weird because moving forward, if you still allow your child to play football and they play football, at this point, whatever happens, happens. I understand some of the old players, if in fact the NFL was hiding information and they could have been protected and they weren't, I understand that. But now with all the information now, like if you decide you want to play and join CTE with Young Jeezy, that's on you, man. Like it's a lot of information out here now. You can't – it's just crazy.
I'm going to keep it 1 million. If the Sayal family goes through with these lawsuits and they win, my decision about their integrity and their intent is going to be based on what they do with the money. If they put it into a trust that's meant to help some cause, then cool. But my feeling is that they trying to get a couple extra dollars because Junior was holding down the Polynesian Islands with his estate.
Man.
What if they put it into a couple vacation homes in a Bentley coupe?
That's my expectation.
That's when you question the integrity.
Shut up, Bentley coupe. What if they take it and try to flip the money to make other things happen?
Yo. I just want to let y'all know
I'm your pusher.
The world.
Yo, yo, A,
Rick
I love the hustle.
I sell everything, man.
I sell everything out in these streets, man.
Yo, anyway,
man.
That dude's crazy.
I don't get this though. What about NFL films? How are they?
NFL films glorify. I see the logical connection. They glorify these big hits. They glorify these gladiators.
So,
I don't agree with it.
Oh. How many days did they sit around watching NFL films of Sayal taking
people's heads off
and they got hype about it? I'm not.
No, how many times have they gone to games and jumped up out of the stands seeing their guy knock a dude senseless?
Mm-hmm.
How many times has Junior Sayal made a big hit and jumped up and celebrated after it? You know
of
what I'm
course.
Saying? Like I've seen him make big hits and get
Sayal
up and
celebrate
after
every hit. Big or not, he celebrated after every hit.
Right. So I don't understand how they can – NFL films also celebrate, like, you know, 1,000-yard rushers or the top rushers, Walter Payton, Jerry Rice, kickers. I mean, it's part of the game. They're just celebrating parts of the game. So you're going to sue them because they celebrated a hit?
This lawsuit smells of bunk, of bunkery. It's bunk.
Yeah, they're
anyway,
trying to build a new island out
at
there,
the end
man.
Of the day – I mean, we don't know what it is, but we all assuming that we know what this lawsuit is about.
Great cash, homie.
Nah, they trying to play. They trying to pay for Lene Kakua's funeral.
Yo, that was their little
genie in the bottle.
I gotta move on. Y'all out of control right now, yo. Let's talk about the conference championship games, man. And you have
bury me
on
the hill with Junior.
Let's talk about PJ. PJ's arch rivals, the Atlanta Falcons.
I told you.
28-24. What you got to think about
that? When you lose a 17-point lead or better, that makes you a coward as a man.
Damn.
As a man. Who all of them, right? All 53
listen,
and the coaches.
Listen, y'all. PJ told y'all 2 weeks ago.
It's the Falcons. That's right. Because they won't get to the playoffs. And you, watch what I tell y'all and watch what happened. All y'all Atlanta fans, go kick a big rock that stubbed your toe.
Yo,
I told you so last year, and I'm telling y'all, watch what happened in the playoffs.
They tried to help my man Russell Simmons. Russell Wilson be the first African American. They tried to help my man out.
Listen, man,
Matty Ice had a change of heart and made two or three good plays in that last drive, and then Pete Carroll fumbled around with the timeouts. To blow it, but they didn't really want to win that game. They want to win.
Yeah, they
that
definitely
game.
Did.
I'll be honest, as sure as I am alive and on the greatest sports show ever to exist, I swear for God, I was never in doubt, even when the Niners were down 17. I said, Niners got this. I do.
You said somebody got it down 17-0.
Now,
you know,
I didn't say I had that much heart. I would say after that Niners first touchdown when Vernon Davis was treating them like he
– I knew.
When Vernon Davis was walking down the field like that, I said, all right, now this might be – I wasn't sure. I ain't even going front. And I'm not a I-told-you-so type of dude, so I thought I was going to have to eat my words. But I was like, yo, these dudes are really letting the Niners come back. And I'm like, I can't believe it. And it's not that I'm like some whatever, I knew this about the Falcons and that, but I feel like it's the same thing with them every year. And it just they stay true to form, especially like Zach Brand said with Seattle. They tried to give it back to Seattle.
How do you continuously give
these leads up?
My man B. Austin said Def Jam should have won that first game, man. They tried to help
Def Jam. They would have been cool with the
grind.
Def Jam All-Stars winning.
He said Global Grind should have won that first game.
Little D and all this. Little Biggie, man. But listen, when they play, here's like the X's and O's of the game. The Falcons ran a zone. So their whole goal was to keep Kaepernick in the pocket. Let's see if we can prove that primates can pass. And what Kaepernick was able to do was stay in the pocket, make some decent throws, tremendous arm, decent reads, but they paid attention to the edges and gave up running plays in the middle of the field.
Francis
M.H.
Francis.
Yo, Frank White, he got his animal on.
Man,
I'm happy for Francis, man, because he keep it quiet. Ever since I've known him, now granted, the 49ers stunk for the majority of his career, but
yo,
he's one of the most quiet, good players that you've ever seen,
deserve.
Man. I didn't even know he could speak English. I didn't know Frank Gore could speak English. Never heard him talk. Like you said, Patrick Willis, they deserve it. Vernon Davis,
they've
been with the squad for a minute, yo. Anytime you've been with a team when they was the doormat, and now you with the same squad and y'all make it to the Super Bowl.
Man, I remember when Francis, M.H., and Patrick made every play, both on offense, defense.
Exactly.
Our team.
But
it was 1-11 on both sides, Brad. 1-11 on both sides. Either Francis or Patrick.
Here's the thing. I mean, like you said, he's a very humble, quiet guy. You know, he was told to shoot out, stay low, and keep firing. But the fact of the matter is, if you look at the game, their offensive line is a bunch of animals.
Ooh,
they dominated the entire playoffs. It's a reason they were able to get them running lanes. It's a reason that Kaepernick had time. Their offensive line, and in the trenches on both sides of the ball, the Niners, and if you look at the other side, we're going to get into that game, but the two nastiest, most physical teams are the two teams left standing, and that's just the bottom line.
And we always talk about that's where it starts, man. It always starts.
No matter what newfalutin, newfangled passing attacks is going down, no matter what type of gimmick high school Friday night lights offenses are installed. The bottom
sound like you're
line,
talking about Chip Kelly, bro.
If the the fat guys make the day. The fat guys.
This is true.
Game of football.
Yo,
this is true.
Frank Gore and even the young boy from Oregon, his name
James.
Has escaped me.
LaMichael.
Yo, they was running through some Emmitt Smith-esque holes. And I'm just like you said, Brad, it was like, and also, you know, it didn't look like they game planned whatsoever for Vernon Davis. Now, granted, Vernon wasn't doing nothing in the playoffs, really,
the last couple
games of the season.
Kaepernick doesn't really pass to him. Much.
Right, but honestly, Kaepernick made some good pass. He surprised me with a few of his passes on Sunday night. Like I was surprised about some of his.
He's another African as opposed to. So he might...
But hold on though. But here's the thing about it, PJ. It also shows that they didn't make any adjustments. If you watch the first game,
right,
they played Russell Simmons in him. Zach Miller was like killing in the entire game.
Yo,
and
Zach Miller
had
2 million yards.
Right. Right.
So my thing is, you didn't make any adjustments, so the Niners must have saw that and implemented Vernon Davis into the game plan, because like Austin said, since Kaepernick has taken over, Crabtree has seen a rise, and Vernon Davis is like the forgotten man.
He goes down the field, and that's the thing that they liked about Cap, besides from his ability to get on the edge and run, he actually takes shots. He's not necessarily as accurate as they need him to be, or he will be, but
all
like...
Right. He wasn't too bad this past game, though, accuracy-wise. He had a couple jumps, but for the vast majority of his passes, I feel like he was making them. Now, I think
he's
he didn't
better.
Have many rushes. Yeah, he's getting better. But my thing is,
he was 16 for 21. I mean, not that
yeah.
you know that doesn't tell you everything. You
that
need
ain't hard
to
be
in
here, but still.
But like I said,
here's
he's
my
not
thing,
16 for 21 on dink and dunks. He's going down.
Right,
too.
He was
no,
going
Randy,
down. I'm surprised.
Randy a little bit. He had a Randy Moss poster on his ball growing up because he forces the ball to Randy.
He do.
Hey,
Randy be on the sideline talking to him, too, if you notice that. He be like,
he throws the ball. If Randy's not in the game, he'll throw the ball to Randy on the
sideline. Throw to the sideline.
Yo, but here's my thing. One thing I got to say about this game is that in watching the entire weekend, Matty Ice has to have my award this week.
You should be ashamed of yourself.
Right back to Dodo.
All right. So my question to you, gentlemen, in terms of the Falcons, is like, okay, what do you do now from here? I've seen some people say fire the coach, but how can you really fire the coach? I mean, what did they do? I don't even understand. Like,
yo,
if
the
you're
coach
running
didn't
that
blow
team,
a 17-point lead.
If you're running that team, what do you do? What do you guys do if you're running the Atlanta Falcons to move forward and try to compete for the championship?
If I'm Arthur Blank, I sell that team and bounce. They don't even need to have a team no more. There's no need to have a team in a city like Atlanta. It's nothing but a transient city. The majority of the black men are gay. If everybody in that city came from another city, so
yo.
I didn't say all. Oh, I just said the majority. All right, put it like this. Let me qualify that for the listeners. When I go to Atlanta, the majority of the black men I see are gay. And now that's just my perspective. I'm not saying that's how
and
Atlanta is. Let me qualify that.
Represents PJ and not the war room.
It does.
Like,
I'm just saying. That's what I feel, though. That's like if I go to Miami and I see majority of, say, Spanish people. I mean, I'm not making a blanket statement, but, I mean, that might be what I saw. So back to the team,
though. That was kind of Reggie White-ish. even if they are, I mean, they spend money too, man. Shout out to all of our gay listeners out there, because I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that.
Yo, shout out
anyway,
to Sid and Outsports.com, yo.
Oh, that's the homie. That's the homie.
Yeah, they're the homie.
Anyway,
we love them.
But listen, my question is this, though. On a serious note, what do you do if you're the Falcons to move forward?
I don't know, Jimmy, because personnel-wise, the team is there, man. It's
that's
with them,
saying,
it
so
just
do
comes
do?
Down. It's like a heart check thing when they get into the playoffs because they played a brand of ball all season where they made the plays that they needed to make late in games. So you were wondering once the playoffs started, had Atlanta turned the corner and were they ready to do that? Last week when they blew the big lead, you know, they ended up making a play at the end of the game. I don't know how many people jumped on board and started believing in them then. But after a 17-0 lead in this game, you figure, okay, maybe Atlanta has really turned the corner. I can't believe they let them dudes come back, man. I really can't.
I
don't know if there's anything you can do if you have a talented team whose heart pumps Kool-Aid.
I don't even come at the Falcons like y'all come at them, but I never I never thought that they were going to win the game.
How did Matt Ryan get the nickname Matt Ice? I'm just curious because
he makes the plays in the regular season that he needs to make. I didn't
really see that until this season.
Well, here's the thing. In our chat room, Jetty Marr says that they need a better running back. I think that I think he's talking about Michael Turner in terms of the starter. I think that Michael Turner won't be the starter or will be splitting time completely for next year with the young guy.
I think the treads on that tire has worn a bit.
You got to understand.
Michael Turner
when he came over to Atlanta, they ran him in the hole.
Yeah, yeah. And he was a physical runner, so that doesn't last too long in the league. So I do agree with, you know, they probably – have to upgrade the running back position. I mean,
not performing or was it them not giving him the ball?
I mean,
like, because we're assuming the treads on the tire have run ball, but I mean,
a lot of times, Doug, when the tread go down, you stop driving it. I mean,
you know how that is.
Because you might have a blowout.
Yeah, he's like, I ain't trying to pay for no new tires right now, so I'm just going to use the car left. But and he also said that he's going to be a cap casualty. So in terms of the numbers, he may be.
Yeah, he does
casualty.
Have a high. He's got a high. Jack Jizz Rogers is yo, he ain't bad at all. His name is horrible, but he is not bad.
But do you think he's a feature back though?
I don't even know what that is anymore. These days, what is a feature back? Like, it's like
now, Adrian Peterson.
Adrian Peterson and
Albert
everybody
DeMoris,
else.
The first Albert dude to get the ball when the game starts. I don't know.
He's a Dave
Megan. Anyway, real quick, though, let's talk about in the AFC, you know what happened. And everybody's favorite Ray Ray and then went out and did what they had to do. Any major observations from this game?
I think you said it earlier, Jimmy. This was
no weapon formed against I.
Yeah, this was a just smack in the mouth. The Ravens just out physical these dudes from the jump. And I don't know. Like I say all the time, there's always a period during every NFL season where the New England Patriots look like they may be unbeatable, and then somebody comes in and plays against them
the
in a real
thing,
physical
the same
manner.
Way, the same
exactly.
way.
Exactly.
You know what? It's funny.
Sometimes
it
takes longer. Sometimes, you know, it happens in the Super Bowl.
It's
sometimes
tough,
it happens in the AFC Championship. But when people get really physical with the New England Patriots, they become beatable all of a sudden. And you wonder why teams didn't just do this before. Maybe certain teams just don't have it in them. We know the Ravens have it in them to get real physical, and I think they dominated up front the line of scrimmage
and smacked them
around.
It's funny, you know, the New England Patriots are interesting team.
I think they're a finesse bunch.
They're a finesse team. They're not that athletic outside of the two predators that they have at tight end. They're more so about perfect execution and cerebral play.
Right.
But when you get against
a street fight.
Running against people, I'm just more dog than you. Like Bernard Pollard is everything.
Bernard Pollard was taking
your
name.
Yo, he's a human.
He's gonna get locked up. I don't know if the feds hit him up yet, but he got a homicide case coming to him. He got a cerebral cranium homicide case coming at him.
I thought Ridley died, man.
Hey, Dad, he died standing up and came back to life when he hit the ground.
He was kind of twitching like Apollo Creed when Drago did the thing to him.
He
was reaching up. I think he was reaching to try to pull his spirit back into his
body.
It was like Ghost. Them dogs came to get him like
problem.
The movie Ghost.
Exactly.
He plays the game of football. It's like before every game he goes to see Zach Tatum, even though Tatum ain't alive no more. It's like that's the type of cloth that he's cut from, and that's something they need.
Yeah, he got a long body count, yo.
Because he's everything that Ed Reed isn't. Ed Reed
yo. In the chat room, they call Pollard Dr. Death, yo. Dr. Death.
Yo, I didn't want to clown that hit because at the moment I really thought Ridley might have been dead. But when you go back and look at it, like, yo, it was like a dance move from a singing group in the 70s.
He got USC.
Yo,
he did a spin.
He did a spin, and the spin immediately went to a split.
My man was like, people all over the world, join hands.
Yo,
he got a love train, dog. He hit the ball, and if you rewind it, I rewinded it and watched it slow. He hit him. He put his hand up, and he sat up and said, I love you, Chunk.
He was a goonie. You know, he was a goonie for like 15 seconds.
But the thing
seconds.
Was, since he fumbled, people weren't really running to his
aid. They
were in a pile, and dude was sitting a few, like a foot away from the pile, twitching like a pile of
Yes.
man.
Drooling. I thought he was quadriplegic after that hit.
Yeah,
I couldn't believe the way
And so the Ravens defensively, their corners are underrated. They got decent physical corners. You know what you're getting with the linebacking core, period, point blank. We don't even got to get into that. Haloti Ngata is also a predator. He's from another –
Yo,
from
I think he – honestly, real talk.
Another Polynesian.
You guys may think I'm crazy. Haloti Ngata is their best player.
I don't know why.
You mean on both sides of the ball?
His consistency this year was kind of questions because there was a stretch during this season where Haloti was doing Ngata. Seriously. And then, at the end of the season, maybe during the playoffs when Ray said he was retiring, Pelotti and everybody else just seemed to, you know, that seemed to energize them a little bit.
Yeah, it did.
Pelotti,
but I know why.
Really
I
didn't
know why.
Hey, diddle, diddle. Where he wasn't.
I know why. I know why Jimmy says that, and there's a case that could be made. And here's the thing: when you have a dominant interior defensive lineman, even if he's not getting production in terms of tackles and sacks, he's occupying so many blockers that it allows your linebackers
yeah.
to run free.
Yeah,
Pelotti,
that's exactly
Duck
my point, Austin.
Protects.
What about Hey Diddle Diddle?
You don't even get the ball no more.
I know.
He might be their best player, but they don't treat him like
they don't use him enough. Yeah.
Yeah, he's splitting time with your man.
What happened? Can someone?
I know my man from out the crib.
How Torrey Smith got good? Because I saw him play on more than one occasion at Maryland, and he wasn't better than me at wide receiver.
Yeah, he put that. Hey, listen,
yo,
hey, Brad. He worked with Ray. Ray
yo,
is his coworker. Ray
made great strides, man. You're right, because coming out of Maryland, man, he was just another
yo,
gangbanger with speed.
I don't know. This is y'all know another Dan, you know what I'm talking about. Darius Hayward Bay. He was worse than Darius, and Darius ain't good.
Damn, worse than Darius.
If you got that many names, though, come on, man, you ain't gonna be good.
Yeah, you can't trust a man with a hyphenated name.
Listen, people underrate my man Anquan too.
Man, his pop
song. Yo, Anquan got vice grip, like he got vice grip hoofs. I don't even think he got fingers because his hands are so strong.
Anquan will break his face to catch a football.
Yo,
he has broken his face.
He has. He broke his sinus. Remember, he broke his sinus. I didn't even know that thing was. I thought the sinus was like booty meat.
Yo.
I thought it was just like tissue. The sinus is.
Here's my thing, though, and I know y'all gonna think I'm crazy, yo. And we all love Ray here, Uncle Ray. But I'm really getting. I can't wait to even tell you. I'm getting tired of Ray, yo.
Yo,
Jim.
You can't.
Listen.
Why
are
you
crying
on the anthem, though? Why are you crying on the anthem?
You gotta chill.
You see me after the show
chill,
outside in the parking lot.
Yo, he gotta chill, man. He gotta chill. He's taking it too far.
Hey, Jimmy.
You just
beat me to that, man, because as big of a Ray fan as I am, his act is kind of getting a little. I'm like, all right, it's getting a little
you gotta
old.
Chill, man.
You crying during the anthem when the singer can't even
God
sing.
God knows.
Seriously, how good is the national anthem when the singer is gone? You don't feel it like that when the singer is gone. Come on, what are you crying for? I texted that to y'all. I'm like, why the boy crying right now? Like, what
yo,
is he crying
man,
for?
This is the last time he's going to do it.
Y'all got Austin blood pressure raising over here, yo.
Y'all can't slander the
up like that. I'm gonna see these dudes out in the parking lot after the show.
Well, Austin, man, this doesn't take away an ounce of my Ray fandom or standom. I still run through a burning building for that dude. But his act is getting kind of corny, man.
Yo,
it's
I don't know
tired,
about
man.
That no more because I'm a little different than that. My thing is this, man. It's not like it was Beyonce lip singing or nothing. So it's like, yo, dog, you don't need to be out there acting like that, man. And then, like, you know, I understand there are a lot of religious, you know, football players. He takes it a bit too far.
Everywhere I go in social media,
they make it sound like
certain,
God got a favorite football team.
You have a certain. I would even say a group that's drawn along ethnic lines that believe that Ray should have gotten the electric chair for his obstruction of justice charge.
Listen, I don't even care about the body he caught. That's something. I'm not even talking about that.
Listen, the way he wears his religion on his sleeve these days, like, Tebow caught so much slander for that, and he don't do half what Ray do out there.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah,
when you
Ray
kneel, pray, and give thanks to God in the joint, but Ray is giving scripture in the interview after the game.
No weapon formed against.
When you lay your religion on your sleeve like that, people are gonna start looking a little deeper at you though. To like, you want to get judged a little more.
Yeah, you're right, because they're gonna look for you to make a mistake. They're gonna
right.
He got to chill. He got the chip. I was waiting for him to stand up at the podium and say, the winner is coming. Like, he's on Game of Thrones or something. Like, Ray has to chill, man. Like, stop it.
Nobody gave us a shot. Nobody. But you still got to play the game, Sal. We knew that.
White
we came in here, and before we walked out of halftime, I just grabbed everybody's hands, and we just said, no weapon.
I won't say it to his
team
face.
Formed against us to prosper. No weapon. Man,
white
crime. Control what God has already.
Yo, I mean, I get what you're saying because people could easily say, are you more of a Christian than Peyton Manning or something? I mean,
All right, man. And another way, let me ask you a quick question. Brady was fined $10,000 for, you know, that dirty slide, kicking Ed Reed. What do you guys think? You guys think it was intentional?
He tried to kick Ed Reed in the dummy.
Yeah, with them, it's personal because Ed Reed has his number, and kind of like McNabb is sending Rondé to Canton. I mean, we all know Ed Reed is much better than that, but, yo, Brady throws picks to Ed Reed, so he's probably frustrated at the sight of Ed and that.
That's a sign of respect. That's a sign of respect.
Yeah, you kick.
It looked to me.
Yeah, I mean, you ain't going to kick Kirk Coleman like that, but you'll kick Ed Reed. That's a sign of respect.
But it looked like he was, like, at the last minute, he just ran up on him, and he threw it up there to protect himself, but knew what he was doing. Like, if you run near me, you know, I'm going to stick this in your gonads. So I thought it was really dirty. I can't remember, though. What did Sue get for lifting his foot up to
50.
To Schaub?
To Matt Schaub, yeah.
He played the 50?
I mean, I understand he has a track record of it, though. But on the same day, Brady gets 10 grand for trying to kick a man in his nards. Your man Frank Gore get fined $10,500 because his socks were too short.
And I thought
so I'm
hot.
Like, if those fines come down on the same day, so you won't get the backlash that you're going to get, his fine can't be more than Brady's, man, because his socks was too
that's
short.
What I'm saying. For
if
socks.
You want to play in some ankle socks, that's worth 10-5 versus
10-5. Brady.
Huh? If Brady got his spikes up, Brady could get arrested for aggravated assault for what he did had Ed Reed fallen a little bit forward and landed his baby makers on his cleat. And all my man Frank Gore did was have his socks too low. He like his ankle
socks.
He got ashy shins.
Yo, he said it was hot as all get out in the Georgia Dome that day.
Your man Frank Gore should have been fined 50 racks for wearing them short ass pants he be wearing when he plays. Like, what's up with dude wearing...
That's why they noticed his socks more because his pants. You saw his thighs on
his pants.
His pants
are so short. He be wearing short pants like in every game.
He be wearing biker.
He's
saying he wearing biker shorts.
Yo, he absolutely does. He looks. Yo, he wears the same.
There's no chance. There's no chance of him wearing knee pads because the pants don't go to his knees.
My man,
he don't even have a pocket for the knee pads.
My man plays football skinny jeans.
He's trying to elude the tackler. He said that's because he's trying to elude tacklers using his pads to tackle and trip him up. So it's actually a tactical strategy that he's using.
I know that's your homie. But my man is out there like running rock in like skinny jeans and 5411s.
Yo, he definitely got biker. Yo, he got biker shorts on.
Ankle socks.
Ankle socks.
Think he's playing basketball, man. He's rocking ankle socks.
In our chat room, John says that Roger Goodell is a total abortion as the commissioner.
So that's his
opinion of Roger Goodell. But let's move on and talk about the actual bowl now that we know the participants.
I think Roger the Dodger has his flaws, but I think he takes a whole lot of unnecessary criticism. Trying to clean these
Dumbledore
morons up. But let's talk about Super Bowl 47 a little bit, and our coverage is brought to you today by Fathead. Get top-quality official licensed wall graphics of every major sports and entertainment property. It's the ultimate expression of fan pride, and maybe going a little bit overboard, but posters, stickers, and decals are no match for the quality Fathead brings to every product. Simply put, they're the real deal. So click on the Fathead logo on our website, worldroomsports.com, and find out what it's all about.
Ladies,
I'm not
we will have that starting five.
I'm putting nothing called
for War Room Sports. War Room Sports starting five fatheads will be available for ladies only.
Yo, hold on, real quick though. Yo,
we're gonna lose that sponsor. Right.
Yo, I'm laughing in our chat room. He said the difference is Dominican Sue. He hit Matt Schaub with the good fella jump.
Go and get your shoot shine box.
Yeah. All right, man.
He got it with a Billy Bat.
Keep him here. Here's some quick facts about the Super Bowl. The NFC leads the series 25-21. The 49ers are 5-0 in Super Bowl games, so the odds are in their favor. The Ravens are 1-0 in Super Bowl games, so they're undefeated too. But they don't have that kind of experience that the Niners as a franchise has. This, of course, is the first time in Super Bowl history that two brothers will face off as head coaches. So let's talk a little bit, fellas, about the Harbaugh Bowl, the Harbowl, whatever you want to call it. First of all, I heard that a dude had patented the name.
Yep.
The NFL had him come up off of it for like two tickets to the Super Bowl. Dude gave up too easy because you could have got a whole lot more than tickets to the Super Bowl.
I should have got a half a man on
that. That's it. You probably could have got more than that. Do you know how much you're going to hear that in the next 2 weeks? Do you know how much you're going to hear? How many shirts? How many shirts are going to be made? How many newspapers are going to have?
He gave it up for two. Dog, he gave up for two tickets?
Two tickets to the Super Bowl.
He could at least got enough money.
I don't
mean
like
to
two
work,
tickets
man.
To
He's
every
funny,
Super Bowl
yo.
From now until the
man.
World
Man.
I go by the name,
I'd have got startup money.
He a hoe.
Some dude's easy, man.
Flip a bird.
All right, but look, let's talk a little bit about the Harbaugh, because we can use it now, because dude, he a coward.
Dude gave it up.
Can y'all imagine this, though? Can y'all imagine this in y'all family? How tough do y'all think this would be on their parents? I heard somebody say, like, you know, it's a win-win for them. But that's not the case, because how hard can you celebrate with one of them if the other one is having the worst day of his life? Like,
the mom is going to root for
the
baby, and the dad's going to root for the older. I don't know.
John is the older one. The Ravens coach is the older one.
Yeah, dad's rooting for John, and mom's rooting for Jim.
Yo, I've come to the conclusion, because when you look at both coaches, their coaching style, as well as their teams, like I mentioned earlier, they're the most physical teams in the NFL. So I think they both were abused as children.
Which I know is, Jim was. Jim is real quirky and weird.
It's surprising that two guys with quarterback backgrounds are so into physical football. And defensive intensity.
What is John Harbaugh's background? I don't know anything about that besides, you know, he was a special teams coach with the Eagles.
All I know is special
defensive backs. So he had a quarterback. Oh God, Glenn Robinson Jr. is just crammed on somebody. But
got more bounce than his pop.
That's the ex NBA player kid.
Dang, hard to be in here, but still.
His pop had mid range game.
Yeah. But
that ass.
They got a hard-nosed father, because the way their coaching styles are, like, very physical teams. In terms of your question, Dev, about what do you do with parents, I don't know what you can do. Like, seriously, what can you do?
Yeah.
They might be rooting for John instead of Jim, because didn't Jim go to a Super Bowl before as a player? With the Bears, did he go?
It was as a backup.
It was as a backup. But
was
he
with the Bears
in Stanford?
85? I don't know.
But
I think he might have been.
It seems like he was the one that made it to the NFL. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The young one, Jim. So they might be rooting for John to give him some glory, since Jim was the one that, you know, probably had the better sports career coming up.
You're right. He was after the 85 Bears. He got there in like 88, 89.
Okay.
So, I don't know, man. I'm just glad I don't have this kind of predicament as a parent. But I just don't know what you would do in that situation. It's a great story for the league. It's a great story for
they're
the fans
do it
and
joint,
for us here
at
sports radio.
Joint news conference too.
But it's like they're going. I heard they said they weren't going to talk the whole time.
Yeah, they're not going to talk, but they're going to do a joint news conference. It's going to be the first in history, obviously, first time in history, two the opposing teams in the Super Bowl. Their coaches do a joint news conference.
Yeah, see, they paying these dudes because they getting them to do what they want already. Yeah, I mean, you're going to get tired. The next week and a half, you're going to get so tired of hearing about the brother matchup. Hopefully they'll start talking about the players at some point. But, yeah, I mean, I didn't really – it was kind of rhetorical because none of us even have this situation where we have two kids that are doing the same thing and are meeting on the biggest stage. So it was kind of rhetorical because we really don't know what we would do. And it's a hard question to answer.
Venus and Serena play?
Because it's not even like who to root for. It's just like, how are you even going to celebrate that night?
Right.
Because you know your celebration is going to make the other one feel some type of way, you know?
Tell the other one you're a loser and get out of here. You know,
Toughen up.
John brought up an interesting stat. I don't know if you guys knew this, but they said in 1996, Ray Lewis got his first sack on John Harbaugh.
John Harbaugh, yeah, I knew that. That's how I knew John didn't play with the 85 Bears. He got in the league a little after that.
You said John or Jim?
I think you mean Jim Harbaugh. Jim is the one that made it to the NFL.
Yeah, Jim, that's what I meant.
John used to coach for us.
He said John, but I guess he meant Jim, because Jim,
like
Jetty Marsh says, Jim was always the bridesmaid in AFC Championship games when he did play.
He was always the bridesmaid in regular season games. He's a backup most of the time. He played with the Colts, too, and they weren't good back then.
He had a couple good seasons with the Colts.
He wasn't a bum.
I never thought he was a bum.
Damn, like, it depends on how you define good.
Yeah.
I like one of the Three Stooges.
Alright, so who do y'all think is the better coach?
I tell you what, if San Francisco wins, like you said, Jim is going to look like a genius with Colin Kaepernick. Yeah. So, I mean,
I think John has been competitive
for a long time, though. I mean, for consistently for a while.
They were competitive before John, though.
That's true, but you're right. Plus, I mean,
John inherited a decent squad. Jim built a team. Because when he got
Jim
there,
for that reason,
the 49ers were kind of down as well, though.
They were talented. He just
Singletary did not handle human beings.
Singletary needs to be working in the military. He needs to be at boot camp.
He's like the gun line boss. Approaching the gun line boss.
Don't want him.
Yo, but how
the
hell
are
you right
gun line
now? He like can't play with him. Can't coach with him. Harbaugh, I can. I'm
The Bull took Dre Bly to the news conference after giving him a spanking and made him apologize.
He sent Vernon Davis home in like the second quarter. He told him to go home. Go home with your pads on. Go home. Don't even go to the locker room. Go home.
You know, Davis boy.
They probably was on the road, too, across country.
I know. They said, go catch a flight and go home.
He's like in New York. Go home.
Man Singletary was like, I would rather have a penalty on every play and play with 10 players. I'm from the old school. Can't play with them. Can't coach with them.
Can't do it. He probably made Vernon cry because
then you're fired. Mm-hmm.
All Vernon want to do is draw pictures.
All right, let's talk about Colin Kaepernick. Colin Kaepernick, man.
You want to draw pictures?
Colin Kaepernick is becoming an overnight sensation. He even, he had, like T-Bowing and planking and all that stuff. He has his own little ING. He has Kaepernicking because he. After he throws a touchdown or does something good, he kisses the bicep, like wrestlers used to do. Basically, anybody with a nice set of biceps has done this, but he gonna take it to the bank. Yeah, so he filed for a trademark for that on January 14th. They already have shirts that they sell, and some of the proceeds for that go to a charity. I forgot exactly what charity that is, but the rest of this, it's all about the dough.
I filed a trademark on a trouser-friendly kiss. That's going to be awesome.
So this is the question. As a matter of fact, this came up on our Facebook page this week, facebook.com/warroomsports. And somebody asked this question. They said, if the 49ers win, will Kaepernick change the perception of one running quarterbacks and two black quarterbacks in general?
Let me first say that
he black.
As we saw against
what
Atlanta,
the one drop rule.
One drop rule. As you saw against, he would have been on the porch, maybe in the house. but definitely.
Yo!
As we saw against Atlanta.
One-liner Joe?
We saw against Atlanta, when you force him to stay in the pocket, he still is effective. When I watch him, and I think we kind of said this, Dad, maybe you said it, I see a little bit of Randall Cunningham in Duke. And so I think that he is an effective passer, and while they do run a little bit of that gimmicky read option stuff, they don't have to depend on it with him. 40% of their plays aren't read option. They can line up in a traditional set and beat you. It just so happens that they have a very athletic quarterback. With his arm strength and the coaching he's receiving, I see him being more of a pocket passer as his career progresses. And just a little aside, folks, stop it with this change of the quarterback stuff. When you have a franchise quarterback, the read option is only going to be around a little while. Large, angry men on the other side of the ball are going to figure that out and take their lives. So all of that running quarterback stuff is not going to go.
They're just going to start hitting the quarterback, Austin. All you got to do is keep hitting him. Like, just sell out, hit the quarterback, and then see where he's at in the end of the third quarter.
Teams are going to get tired of taking that risk. Like, what you're doing may work, but if you just keep hitting the quarterback regardless of what's happening – They're gonna stop wanting to risk their quarterback's health.
Because he's a runner at that point.
Coaches like Jeff Fisher and of course the Ryan boys are gonna take it back to high school and say, it doesn't matter what happens, don't feel bad about the game. You just make sure that you put your helmet as far into his sternum and try and break skin.
To the caller's question or the person from the Facebook page. It's a situation where, first of all, you know, we have to define who we label as a quote-unquote running quarterback. So even if we are labeling Kaepernick a running quarterback and he wins, besides the live in the moment type, you know, prisoner of the moment type fan, which there are a lot of out there, I don't think any intelligent fan would just take that small of a sample and just change their whole perception, you know, if they had a negative perception.
Yeah, I agree with that,
Dad. Because there's been 46 other Super Bowls, and this would
be the first person to win one. I agree with you, Dad, but to answer your point, and, like, you know, take that read option out of it, because at the end of the day, people like to use that, but it's not going to be offense that
a
lot of teams use.
It's a play package.
But here's my thing, though. I think that it will change because at the end of the day, there's a new breed of athlete. When you look at an RG3, even Andrew Luck, who's a great pocket passer, he's very mobile.
Mobile isn't being a running.
He's not a running quarterback, though.
But if you watch the Colts,
he runs when he has
hard, No, he does, but they also have design runs for him as well, and he's that good of an athlete.
I've seen design runs down by the goal line, but, you know, any athletic quarterback is going to get those calls. We're talking about where these dudes are, like, depending on that part of their game. I think
Aaron Rodgers was the bridge, Austin. In my opinion, I think Aaron Rodgers was the bridge to
one of the most athletic quarterbacks in the league, and people don't even recognize that because he doesn't run willy-nilly.
But
I don't look at
Aaron Rodgers as a new style of quarterback, though. He ain't John Elway. John Elway and Steve Young got out of there when they had to.
But what I'm saying is when you look in college now at all the guys who are potentially NFL players, they all are mobile guys with the cannon of an arm, even the pocket passers. I'm saying that the days of guys like Jim Kelly or Troy Aikman just standing in the pocket and slinging the ball, I think those days may be going. They're not any left in college. I mean, when you look at college football, that's not what's coming up. When you look at
you're gonna have to take hitting out of the game, because eventually the way a quarterback runs downfield and the way a defense is conditioned, like, you can't put your franchise quarterback at risk. Every single one of those runners, let's start with Robert Griffin. Look at the wear and tear and where his injury situation is after less than 16 games. Like,
I agree with that.
I understand, but I hear what Jimmy's saying. He's just basically saying, you know, when people go out to draft these days, it's not necessarily the Robert Griffin or, you know, can they run a 4-2. No, but what he's basically saying is, you know, that's a big part of what people are drafting. Like, that's what they want you to have. Even if they're not going to sit you back there like a statue, they want you to be mobile. So they will have some kind of options.
And the thing about it is, it goes deeper than that. When you look at the colleges now, they're not even letting guys who are pocket passers play the position anymore. So coming out of high school into college, this is what you have as, like, you know, your farming system, so to speak, of where you're getting your players from. And I just look at it as a different – I mean,
is Johnny Manziel a running quarterback?
Absolutely. He had over 1,000 yards rushing.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, he had over 1,000 yards rushing. And the thing about it is, I think that you'll see guys like Kaepernick or Austin's favorite, Russell Simmons, his favorite player. So you'll see guys like that, guys who have the ability to stay in the pocket and pass, but you can also call a design run for them. You know, I think the game is changing that way. But like we talked about before, Austin, defenses catch up and they start, you know, changing the way they defensively
design
is a cat and mouse game. That's what it is.
Design runs 4 or 5 times a game is a little different than what they're doing in Redskin land with 30% and 40% of their plays being out of the pistol. There's too much risk associated with that. I'm going to guarantee a $20 million payday. I can't put a $30 million payday at risk.
I agree with that,
but they was tripping. Yeah, they were tripping.
The Redskins are completely different. Like, they're outside. They're drawn.
It's interesting that you brought up Andrew Luck when this conversation started about Kaepernick, because did y'all hear the story on how Kaepernick even got on Harbaugh's radar?
Yep.
He said Andrew Luck and Kaepernick were both at the Manning camp together. So when Luck came to Stanford, Harbaugh asked him, was there anybody else at the camp that impressed you? Luck told him, yeah, there was this kid there named Colin Kaepernick. He was really impressive, told him he had a rocket for an arm, this and that. The dude, Harbaugh, filed it away in his memory. Once he became the coach of the 49ers, went out to Nevada to scout this dude, drafted him in the second round, you know, gave your man Alex Smith the shaft, and the rest might be history if they win this game in a couple of weeks. So like PJ said a couple minutes ago, he might end up looking like a genius, and it might all be because of
Andrew Luck put him deep.
Andrew Luck definitely put him deep.
He's a scout.
So
he better give Kaepernick, if they grant him that trademark,
he better give half that trademark to Andrew Luck. So how Andrew Luck, like the best rookie quarterback in the league and the best scout in the league, all in the same
Andrew Luck, I discovered Kaepernick.
Yeah. Hey, y'all, so
if you remember,
real quick before we – oh, go ahead, Jim.
I was saying, if you remember, last year going to the draft, even we were like, come on, man. He got so much hype that it was like we even got tired of it. Like, yo, nobody can be this good. He's living up to the expectations. I mean, this dude – and I know this has nothing to do with him. We're talking about the Super Bowl. But I actually get jealous watching him play because it's not fair for the Colts to go from
no human being can do that.
Rob Ryan got hired
by the Rams, just in case y'all didn't know that.
Who did?
Rob Ryan got hired by the Rams just now.
Buddy Ryan, to take Greg Williams' spot that he never got.
And Spagnuolo just got fired from the Saints. Steve Spagnuolo.
Who everybody, let's get Spag. Spag should coach the Eagles. People just like to say stuff. Shut up. All right. Look, man, real quick, man. Ray Lewis
Chip
and
Kelly.
Ed Reed. I think, shoot, just as much as we like Ray, I think Ed Reed might deserve a championship even more, man. But we kind of out of time, so we'll throw that back in the Super Bowl conversation for next week. So, Jimmy, do your thing, brother.
No doubt. Thanks for joining us for another episode of The War Room. Shout out to everyone in the chat room on Facebook, Twitter, the callers who called in. Sorry for those we never got a chance to get to. Tune in next week, same time, same place, for another episode of your favorite show. We'll dive even deeper into Super Bowl 47 and our third annual Super Bowl Spectacular. Until then, enjoy your sports weekend, and we'll see you, well, you know, next week on the same show. Make sure to look at our Facebook, Twitter, and also go to warroomsportstv.com. because we create videos there, you know, separate content from our show. Take a look at that. Until next week, everybody, don't accept mediocrity and be steadfast in the war against ignorance. Adios.
tune in, Jimmy. Know the blueprint.
Yo.
Every Thursday, 6 to 8, they do this. Shout out to Dez, PJ, B. Austin, Doc Bay on replay. WarRoomSports.com. Get that mobile app. It's not dialed.
Call it
323 looking 0012. They be going and you sensitive, then oh well.
Yeah.
Physical podcast, the tough push. Showtime like magic and a block push.
Magic.
Listen live, push one to join in. Rip your team or listen for your enjoyment. Hip hop dollars, pit stop and knowledge. Should be in sports credits, I ain't talking college. Five guys, no beef though. Sports secret, but the streets know. Belafonte, I got a G flow. KC, royalty, I'm in beast mode. 2 hours, get your game up. Who's the best in sports cast? You better name us. War Room Sports. Yeah. You know? Jimmy. Dev. DJ. Doc Bay. The officer. I'm Jock. Up here coming on the beat.
War Room Sports, www.warroomsports.com. What? Ain't no more to it.